Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Dave Plyer in for Bob Surratt this morning. Chris Wallace is the anchor of Fox News Sunday. In his 16 years at Fox, Wallace has covered almost every key political event. Throughout his 5 decades in broadcasting, he has interviewed numerous U.S. and world leaders, including 7 American presidents, and won every major broadcast news award for his reporting. He's got a new book out called Countdown 1945, The Extraordinary Story of the Atomic Bomb and the 116 Days That Changed the World. And to share that story, Chris Wallace joins us this morning. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning to you, David.
You know, this book was most likely a nice break for you from talking about our president, Nancy Pelosi, current politics, pandemics. A little distraction was probably pretty nice right now.
Absolutely. As the host of a Sunday talk show, all of those people and all of those things that you're talking about are what I live in. And, you know, researching and writing a history book isn't easy. But there's not a single word in this book about Donald Trump or about the troubles that the country and the divisions the country was going through. And one of the big contrasts is when you see the story of 1945, it is so different from what we live through today. The Manhattan Project had been going on for more than 2 years to develop the atom bomb. 125,000 people across the country, and that nobody ever broke the secret. The secret was kept because the country was all united in a common purpose, which was to win the war. And today, if you had 125,000 Americans in a secret project to bake apple pie, I promise you, by day two, somebody would tweet, "This is outrageous and it's immoral and I'm going to be a whistleblower." So it was a different time. It was a simpler time. And I must say, I kind of missed 1945 when I was spending my days and nights writing about it.
You know, in early 2019, and this is kind of how some of this started for you and your interest in all this, you were invited to a briefing by Nancy Pelosi in a very historic place, a very historic room.
Yeah, I had always wanted to write a book I call it a history thriller. Because, you know, while now it's all settled and we know what happened, they didn't know what was going to happen. And there's so much drama in this story, the 116 Days to Change the World, Countdown 1945, the Truman doesn't know whether he should drop the bomb or invade Japan. The scientists don't know whether what they called the gadget would even work. The flight crew didn't know when they were on the mission to drop it on Hiroshima whether when they dropped it and the explosion took place, whether it would knock the plane out of the sky, the aftershock. So I wanted to do that kind of a story, but what story? So in February of 2019, it was the day of the President's State of the Union speech. Speaker Pelosi invited us to a hideaway that speakers have on the House side of the Capitol called the Board of Education. And it turned out in 45, the then speaker, Sam Rayburn, Mr. Sam was there, and Harry Truman, who was the vice president, came in, and Rayburn said, the White House is looking for you. So, and Nancy Pelosi is telling all of us this story. And Truman, in this room, calls the White House, National 1414, and says, the VP and one of Roosevelt's aides says, get to the White House as quickly and quietly as possible. And he hangs up the phone and goes, Jesus Christ and General Jackson. And I thought, that's my story. Mm-hmm. The 116 days between when Truman suddenly becomes president and they drop the bomb on Hiroshima.
Well, and you started your research at the Truman Library, and it was a letter that he wrote that really told the story on how he was feeling at that moment in time. And it kind of taught you his method, the way he thought throughout this whole process.
Yeah. Well, so he's that day, he had been the vice president. He didn't want to be vice president, and he was sort of forced on by the party leaders onto the ticket. And Truman, Roosevelt, completely shunned him. He had only met privately, even though he was vice president, for 3 months. He'd only met privately with the president 2 times. and which is one of the reasons he knew nothing about the Manhattan Project that day. So he's April 12th. It's another day. He's presiding over the Senate. There's a sleepy debate about a water treaty with Mexico. And even though he's up on the Senate rostrum, up at the front there on the elevated desk, he takes out some paper and starts writing a letter to his mother and his sister back in Grandview, Missouri, saying how boring this debate is. And it was only after the Senate recess that he went over to the Board of Education and ended up becoming president.
Now, you mentioned the different styles of FDR versus Truman, and that Harry Truman was, you know, president for only 12 days, and he had already made some changes, including, you know, he was all business, not dragging on cabinet meetings like FDR often did. He was decisive, which kind of allowed me for the rest of the book to understand his personality and management style and why dropping the bomb and making that decision was a clear decision for him.
Yeah, it wasn't an easy decision, though. There are a couple of things about his management style. He was very decisive, but very meticulous. And he went over, this is obviously, I think you could say, one of the biggest decisions any president has ever had to make. And he met over and over with his war cabinet, the top people in the Pentagon, the top generals, to discuss, because the choice was drop the bomb or invade Japan, which was going to be a very bloody affair and continue the war, the projections were, for another year and a half. Secondly, he sought dissent. He wasn't afraid of people disagreeing with him. He wanted to hear their honest opinion. And Eisenhower, just before he makes the decision to drop the bomb, says in Germany, I don't think you should drop it. I think that it would be the wrong thing for the U.S. to develop this huge technology and introduce it to the world. He valued what Eisenhower said. He didn't follow it, but he wasn't upset that somebody had given him contrary advice. And then third, he agonized over the decision. He couldn't sleep at night. He had terrible headaches. And in his diary, and that was one of the treasure troves, to go to the Truman Library and get a hold of his diary so you could read what was he thinking privately during this time. He had these apocalyptic visions of the fire destruction prophesied in the Bible. So he knew this was a big decision.
The countdown format of this book is so captivating as you get closer. It makes me not want to put it down because it's just, okay, what's next? And then what happens next? I just love the way the book flows. 21 days, you talk about, you know, Truman was intimidated. You know, when you think about the president of the United States, you don't ever want to think that they're intimidated by anyone or anything, but he was ready to replace FDR in that big three summit, Churchill and Stalin, and he wasn't quite sure he was ready, knowing what was to come.
Well, that's right. And you know, again, and I'm sure that nobody, no of the news reporters at that time and the people taking the newsreel photos thought that he was intimidated. But again, we now know what was really going on in his mind. And he was concerned because he had enormous shoes to fill. Roosevelt had been president for 13 years and had established a very close relationship with Churchill and a working relationship with Stalin. Now here was this guy that neither of them had ever heard of, Stalin and Churchill. And now suddenly he's the president of the United States and he's got to try to fill those shoes and, you know, try to get into that club that they're members of. But on the day that his first full day in Potsdam, July 16th, he's got one thing going for him, which was that early that morning, it was going to be late afternoon in Germany, which was 8 hours ahead, they're going to have the first test of the atom bomb. And he knew that if the bomb worked, he, as the junior member in the club, would suddenly have all of the leverage because he'd have access to the most powerful weapon in the history of mankind.
Your timeline goes from 116 days to 43 seconds before the bomb dropped. And then you talk about the aftermath a little bit. And you really have to put this in perspective at that time. People, you know, were excited as, you know, Japan surrendered 3 days later after the bombs dropped. But the American public really didn't know the details of what really happened on the ground right away. They heard about bombs being dropped before. I mean, we were at the end of World War II, but they really didn't understand the impact and really what this meant with a nuclear bomb.
Well, no. And frankly, it was a concerted effort by the American government. They had a positive PR campaign. They put out a lot of information about the Manhattan Project and all of the scientific genius and the breakthroughs and all of that. And what they hid was any sign and certainly any photos of the devastation of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And there are even cases where Japanese film crews had gone to Hiroshima after the war, and obviously after the bomb, had taken photos, and the occupation force run by General Douglas MacArthur in Tokyo confiscated the footage. So it wasn't until an American reporter named John Hersey, more than a year later, went and saw it and then came back to the United States and wrote his story for the New Yorker magazine, right, which later became a huge best-selling book called Hiroshima. That was not until that book came out more than a year later that Americans really had a sense of the human and physical devastation that had been wreaked by the United States in the bombing of Hiroshima.
And you think about this, you know, and putting it in all perspective, nuclear warfare has only been used twice, and it was 3 days apart from one another, you know, so long
and
ago.
And both by the United States.
And both by
the United
States.
Yeah, and I think one of the reasons, you know, people have asked me, well, why don't you think it's ever been used since? And I think the reason was because the U.S. was the only country that had the technology, had the bomb. In 1949, Russia develops the bomb, and now suddenly you can't bomb your enemy. You can't bomb Russia because they could bomb you. And we ended up getting this strategic doctrine called Mutual Assured Destruction, or MAD, M-A-D, which basically is if we drop a bomb on our enemy is going to drop a bomb on us. And it's been a very uneasy Cold War and arms race, but it has kept the peace for the last 75 years because one country thinks if I were to use the bomb, that it'll be used on me. Mutual assured destruction, which when you think of it, is a heck of a way to run the world.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're talking to Chris Wallace from Fox News. His new book is Countdown 1945, The Extraordinary Story of the Atomic Bomb and the 116 Days That Changed the World. Chris, before I let you go, I was looking, just doing some basic research about your father, Mike Wallace, and his connections to Chicago and to WGN Radio. Here, he was part of WGN Radio and WGN Television, starring in a crime drama on a radio station here. And then he hosted a bunch of shows on WGN TV as well. So, I mean, he's got some pretty deep roots here, and so do you.
Well, I was going to say, so do I. I was born, one of his roots is I was born in Chicago right, in 1947. And after college, I went to work first for a newspaper in Boston, and I hope some people remember me. I went to work in the early 70s, 73 for WBBM.
Yeah, Channel 2, right.
Channel 2, and with Bill Curtis and Walter Jacobson and Brent Musburger was the sports reporter,
sure,
and I was the political reporter. So, you know, looking back, almost 50 years, that was a pretty good team.
Your father returned to Chicago in 1989 he was the guest of honor at the Museum of Broadcast Communications, which I currently chair. And he was one of the first, just want to mention this, he's one of the first that made a significant donation to our museum about 30 years ago from a national media personality, and it kind of helped put us on the map.
Well, I think I was at that event, and he was inducted into the Hall of Fame. And was that at the Conrad Hilton?
I think so. I think it was.
Yeah. And it was a very special event and meant the world to him. And then the next day we went out to Wrigley Field and he threw out the first pitch.
Can't beat that.
And, then he went up with Harry Carey and... man, those were good times.
Those were good times. Chris Wallace's new book is Countdown 1945, Extraordinary Story of the Atomic Bomb and the 116 Days That Changed the World. You can catch Chris hosting Fox News Sundays at 9 with encores throughout the day on Fox News Channel. Chris, pleasure spending some time with you this morning. Be well, my friend.
Well, thank you, and thank you so much. It's obvious to me. You know, you do interviews. Some people have read the book, some haven't. You obviously did, so I appreciate that.
My pleasure, sir. Have a great day.
Bye.
All right. Wayne Mesmer and Andy Baser join us next to talk about the return of baseball right after a look at your weather this Independence Day weekend. Dave?